Chapter 4, I'll begin there in just a few moments. I'm very thankful to the congregation here and to the elders who recently agreed to help support me in the work in Morrison. I appreciate that very much, and it's been a big help. And just briefly, I'd just like to let the congregation here know a little bit about the work there. If you were to add all the ages of all the people that worship there together, the probably average age would be somewhere above 60, maybe above 70 years old. But they're a very humble group of people. I was impressed by that. One of the patriarch members there, the one who's been serving there for a long time, he just celebrated his 90th birthday, and he's one of the humblest people you ever meet. Very kind group of people. They're a trusting group of people, and a faithful group of people. But like most congregations, as time has gone on, we have to learn that we can't always be as trusting as we'd like to be, and we have to investigate even more. And that's a good thing. We need to investigate the truth. And as I begin this morning, I would encourage you to investigate the things that I say to see that those things are true or not, because we're trusting in God's word and not in man. They're a small group. I'd say if everybody's well and able to come, they got about 14 or 15 people. And generally, on a good day, that's about how many would come. And that's with some visitors, because there's always usually a few people sick. But they're a strong group of people. They meet just as many times as we do, although they have more Bible studies. We only have one worship service on Sunday morning. The rest of the services are Bible studies. So they don't take advantage of the lack of opportunity of not having someone there preaching twice on Sunday. They still are very committed about meeting and studying God's word together, and this is I'm very impressed about those. And they study and they teach. They don't delegate the teaching to any other visitor. They take care of the teaching, and they have some good Bible studies. We're in Galatians now. And I appreciate if you keep that work in your prayer. I know many of you have, and I appreciate that very much. And if you know of anybody that's moving in that area or visiting that area, we would be very happy to have them come and be with us in that work there. I was hesitant a little bit about this lesson, because I know Everett has done a great job all month preaching on the family, but he suggested that we continue that theme. And since Brother Broyles will be coming next Sunday, and Billy had suggested the passage I had picked out that the congregation may have memorized by now. But I talked to a preacher last night, and he told me, if a congregation hears the same material an average of six times, how much do you think they retain? And he told me about 60%. So, well, y'all got quite a ways to go to have memorized the whole thing. So maybe we'll be okay. Maybe there'll be enough new stuff in there that it won't be quite exactly the same. Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, the first four verses, I'd like for us to concentrate on that this morning. And this is beneficial to me. As I study these lessons, I've heard Everett, and I've heard his dad, and it just reminds me very much. It's probably a good thing I wasn't a parent when I was young. It's that's a blessing for some kid somewhere along the line, along that. And I was thankful to be around you guys and learn a lot of things. But as I study these lessons, there's lots of responsibilities given to both parents and both children. And I hope the children especially will be listening. The parents, they're very well aware of their responsibilities as they've taken them on. But children, we need to be aware of our responsibilities. And I say we because I'm a child myself, and I still have responsibility to my mom and as I go along. So let's begin by reading the scripture. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." First of all, he says, children, obey your parents. And, you know, children may say they've heard that. They may feel tired of hearing that. But it's something we need to be aware of. We need to obey our parents. Life would be so much easier for me today if I'd have spent more time obeying my parents when I was younger. I would have developed skills that I either don't have now or just now developed them at a very late age. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things. It may seem tedious. It may seem like your parents don't know what they're talking about. But if for no other reason, and this is the most important reason, do it because God said do it. God knows what he's doing, and he has equipped parents to do the job that they're doing. There was a penalty under the law for those who failed to do what God, and it was very serious. We don't have penalties quite the same now. We have to wait to that judgment day, and we'll have to wait and reap that penalty that we'll justly receive on that day. But back in those days, they didn't wait. It was ingrained into them, the penalty for disobeying their parents. Deuteronomy chapter 21, beginning in verse 18. Chapter 21, beginning in verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when he has chastened him, will not heed them, then the father and the mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the city. Then they shall say to the elders in the city, this son of ours is stubborn. He's rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men that is in the city shall stone him to death with stones, and shall put away the evil from among them, and Israel shall hear and fear. It was to teach the people, because if rebellion was allowed to go on, then there would be chaos. There wouldn't be any rule. There wasn't be any law. Everyone would be able to do what was right in their sight. But one interesting thing, we shouldn't have the image in our mind that some little 5 or 10 year old was snatched up by the hand and carried out to the elders because he was disobeying the parents. This was someone who was old enough to engage in these drinking activities, these gluttonous activities. And something else I would note, you won't read this source. I know you won't read one passage in the Old Testament where any parent ever took their child to the elders to have them stoned to death. But that was a penalty. And that has something to say about the love of parents has for the children. And it should have something to say for us as children, the gravity of our actions and our behavior, that we conduct ourselves in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of our parents, and how important that is. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Listen to those admonitions. They will keep us. They will help us to grow in the way we should go. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. I'm sure many of you who've heard me before have heard me read these passages, but they're very important passages, I believe. Passages that they need to sink down into our ears, even to the very inner parts of our brain, so that we would remember these things and that we would take heed and be warned by them. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you all the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know for all these God will bring you into judgment. When you read that first part, doesn't sound so good. Just walk in the ways of your heart. Just be cheered. Just be happy. You know, the old saying says, be happy. But then that second part is surely a warning for us all. He said, but know for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And I'm on some other lessons that I've done, and you may have remember, but remember, God is not mocked. God doesn't say these things for nothing. This isn't just to go in one ear and out the other. When God says something, he means it. And he's true to what he says. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now the Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While there is sun and light, moon and stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the days when the keeper of the house trembled and the strong man's strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of the grinding is low, When one rises at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the music are brought low. Also they are afraid of the height of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden, and desire falls, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about in the streets. Remember the Creator before the silver cord is loosed, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher shattered from the fountain, or the wheel broken at the wheel, when the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Vanity is the vanity, said the preacher. All is vanity. So let's remember our Creator, brothers and sisters, in the day while we still have the opportunity. But he says, obey them in the Lord. And that's an important fact. We need to obey our parents in the Lord. There are certain circumstances that we may think of that would justify us maybe not listening to our parents. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. Verses 26 through verse 33. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower and does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who sees it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he was able to with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000, or else whether others is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now we may say, nah, I can obey mom and dad until they start telling me to do stuff that I'm not supposed to do. But think about it. How often does that happen? I think I was raised up in a pretty good family, although they weren't a Christian family, so to speak. But they never once hindered me from going to any gospel service that I had an opportunity to go to. In fact, they had encouraged me from time to time to go to such things, and they even would attend occasionally. They never told me or expected me to do anything that was wrong. Now, I may have had more opportunities. I may not have had the discipline that someone who was raised in a Christian home had. But I was never provoked or moved to do wrong that I can recall of. I may not have had always had the best examples, so to speak, but my parents never moved me in the wrong direction. So if you're here this morning and you don't have Christian parents, that is no excuse for not obeying your parents. That's no reason for rejecting your parents. Maybe you're here this morning and feel like you don't have the best Christian parents in the world. I don't know why that would be, but it's possible. But have your parents ever commanded you to do something that was wrong? Have they ever instructed you to stay home and forsake the assembly? Have they ever tried to hinder you from serving the Lord? If they haven't done that, if they haven't tried to get in the way of you serving the Lord, you are to honor them. You are to obey them. And we can't later on go down the road and point our fingers at our parents and say that they caused us to stumble, because that's not the case. We need to honor. We need to obey our parents. Acts chapter 4 is the same idea when they were trying to provoke the apostles to not speak in the name of the Lord. There was an occasion. We are commanded to obey the authorities. We're submit to the governing authorities. But yet there is that exception where we have to obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. So they called them and commanded them to not speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they were all glorified God for what they had what had been done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing had been performed. And you remember they healed a guy, and that was what brought all this on. And people were glorifying God, and they were preaching Jesus, and these people were offended because of that, and they was trying to get them out preaching the name of Jesus. But again, these are examples of obeying our parents in the Lord, and these might be some possible reasons we would not obey our parents in the Lord. But how often does that happen? In my entire lifetime, I've only known of one, and I'm sure it happens more often than I'm aware of, but I've only known of one person in my entire lifetime that was kicked out of her home because of her faith. She renounced the faith of her family and obeyed the gospel, and at some point in time, she'd seen the need to assemble with Christians, and it caused a problem in her home, and she was forced to leave, or she did leave. But that doesn't happen very often. And if that happens to you, then I would suggest maybe that's the reason you would have for not honoring your parents in that one specific area. But we need to honor those parents. You remember Everett talked about, and I won't do this again since Everett done it not too long ago, but you remember the Rechabites, how the Rechabites were told not to drink wine, and they were tried to provoke the Rechabites to drink the wine, and they said, no, we won't do it. But yet all of Israel was chasing after and going against God. But the Rechabites wouldn't disobey their father. They wouldn't disobey the commands of their forefathers, but yet they heeded it and held to it. And they were blessed for it. And I think Everett made some very good points about the blessings that even if the Rechabites are still alive today, and I think he suggested that they would be according to that promise, that there's still somebody serving the Lord in the Rechabites because of their faithfulness to their father, to their earthly father. Of course, being faithful to the earthly father transfigured into being faithful to God, because God commanded us to be faithful to our parents. And we're mindful of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 6 there. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself carved images, any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or is in the earth beneath or that is in the water or under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. And I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation to those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. God says he shows mercy to those who keep his commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. And then you shall do no work, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your male servants, nor your female servants, your ox, nor your donkey, or any cattle, nor your stranger who was within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant, they may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand, that by the outstretched arm, therefore, the Lord your God command you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. Now notice, when he gets done with the spiritual commands, the very first command after the commands to honor God, he says, honor your father and mother. That's the very first one. When we get to talk about those commandments that teach us to honor God, he says, honor your father and your mother. As the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that you may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And these are the words that the Lord spoke to those people. But again, honor your father and mother. And something that maybe escapes us, or maybe doesn't escape you, but it's something that my attention was drawn to even more so, is that we have to, honoring our father and mother is more than just being obedient to them when we're young. It's more than just doing what they say. It's providing for them as we have opportunity to their needs. If we have ability to assist them, we have commandment to do that. It is part of God's law that we do that. In Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. And he said, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God no effect through your traditions, which you have handed down, and many such things. Even if we give everything we have to God, if we neglect our parents, he says, we break the commandment of God. We make the commandment of God of no effect. We have a responsibility to our parents. Maybe you think, well, I'm young, I don't have any money, but you have abilities. You have in your hand to do good to your family, to your mom and your dad. And those who are providing for you, maybe it's your grandparents, maybe it's an uncle that has taken on the role of parenting in your house. You have opportunity to do good for them. It may not be money now. It may be just your helping hand. It may be just your kind cooperation, so that you would bring peace to your family, and it won't be a fuss and a fight whenever your parents ask us to do it, or ask you to do anything, or as in my case, when my parents would ask me to do anything. We have to be prepared. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. This is another chapter that brings this point out very well. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Did you know that when you do good to your parents, you're repaying them for what they've done for you? And he doesn't say here, now if you got good godly parents, then you want to repay them. He says your parents. It doesn't matter where you think they're good or godly. God bestowed them the honor of being your parent. And he bestowed you the honor of being their children, regardless who they are. They're your parent, and you're their child. Fulfill those responsibilities, because it is a commandment of God. Whether you feel that you have questions about some things, don't question what God has for us. God knows all things, and He has prepared us that we might serve Him the way we should go. And the more we can be like Him, the more we can do for Him, do what He says, the better we'll be for it in the long run. Again, do not provoke your, says, fathers, do not provoke your, but train your children. Provoke to wrath. We don't want to provoke our children to wrath. Remember what the object is. Remember what the goal is when you're trying to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here's a couple of quotes here that you might find useful, and just take them for what they're worth. They're quotes of men, but they made some quotes on these passages. He says, parents are called to correct, not punish, their children. When you set about to discipline your children, it's not to invoke some kind of make them feel bad just so they'll feel bad. It's to correct an activity, correct their behavior. It's not to punish them. He says it's to help them. And then that was by Adam Clark. And then Liscombe and Shepherd said, children should be corrected and restrained from self-will and should be trained to be obedient to their parents from their earliest childhood. But this should be done in love for the child. And this might have been an area I would have had to work on as a young parent. I mean, it takes a lot of patience to be a good parent. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of skills. And I'm sure many of you could testify to that fact and understand the development process that you went through in being the parents that you are today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, we are commanded to, the children of Israel were commanded to train up their children. And I used to say this about Al Sandlin. Al Sandlin, he would talk about all the little plaques and things, reminders on the refrigerator and on the doors about little scriptures, you know, that his kids would see growing up. And then one day I went in Brother Kent's house. Well, I don't know if I've never been in Brother Al's house, but I've been in Brother Kent's house. He's got them all over the place. Anything you can do to remind your children about God, put those reminders in their thing. It may not have to be a plaque. It may be something else. Maybe you had devotionals with your kids. Maybe the various different things. But notice what he says here, beginning in verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I have commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk with them when you are in the home, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and when you bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and they shall write on them the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Our children need to be reminded of God. They need to be reminded of the commandments of God, the will of God, the direction that they need to go. They need those reminders. We need those reminders. And as we remind them, we can remind ourselves and help our children. It's something that's very emphasized very much with God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, notice how Paul said he treated him, and it gives us a good example, I believe, of how parents should treat their children. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. So there's one of the first lessons that I believe parents could take to heart, to live devoutly, justly, and blamelessly before their children. If you do that and your children see that, that will go as far as anything I would suggest to bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as anything you could say, but living that life. And then in verse 11 it says, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul did this so they would walk in the kingdom of his glory. Parents do that so their children will walk in the kingdom of his glory. That's what that's what the whole goal of parenting is about. It's not to have a good job. It's not to have a big house. It's not to have the most and nicest vehicles in the front yard. And there's nothing wrong with that in a certain context, but that's not the goal of being a parent. A parent is to prepare their children to meet the Lord. That's their number one objective, is to prepare their children to meet the Lord and their spouse as well, their husband or their wife, to prepare one another to meet the Lord. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. If we do that, if parents do that, God says they won't depart from it. I can't I can't go into the depth and all that may go into. I've heard various things on it, but it's something that God tells us to do. It's God says something tells us to do. And when you see parents who have been very diligent raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you almost without exception see godly children right there with them. So we need to practice that. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 11. When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place where he has chosen, you shall read the law before all Israel in their hearing. And gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and be carefully observe all the words of this law. And that your children who have not known it may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land and that you cross the Jordan to possess it. What happened to the children of Israel? They were faithful unto those people. The elders died of that generation who seen the great works of God, and then they began to fall away. What happened? They quit reminding one another of God. They quit teaching one another about God. They started observing the other lands around about them, becoming more and more like them, incorporating their ways into their lives. And they fell completely away until they were utterly carried away into captivity. But he says, do these things. God commanded them to do these things so that their children would know and learn and understand how they should live. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1, and I'll read down to verse 7. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known. And our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he has commanded to our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that generation to come might know them, the children who would be born. They might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Why do we teach our children? Why do we remind them so they can remind their children and they can remind their children? It's so wonderful when you can see generations of Christians and people's families. And we see that right here in Trenton. Generations of Christians. That didn't happen by accident. They just didn't throw them out in the street and say, well, do the best you can, and all of a sudden they had three or four generations of Christians or more. No, they didn't do that. It was a lot of hard, diligent work. It was a lot of sacrifice. It was a lot of sacrifice that was made so that children would continue to walk in the faith of their parents and the faith that God has given to us in his gospel. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Fathers, but train them up and admonish them. Admonish them in the Lord. And that word admonish means a mild rebuke. It means to warn them. It doesn't mean beat them over the head with a steel pipe. Of course, sometimes I'm sure parents would think maybe they need to, but it doesn't mean that. It means a mild rebuke. Warn them and train them. Let them know that it's done with love. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his corrections. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son, and in who he delights. If your parents are correcting you, they're doing it because they love you. They don't want you to go down the wrong paths. In many cases, they don't want you to make the mistakes they made. they want you to do better. I've told some of our guys in our class, we got some wonderful people here in this congregation, but as wonderful as they are, I don't care who they are, there's not one father or one mother that wants you, or that is content for you to be just like they are. They are laying a platform down so that you can stand up and be stronger Christians. And when you get to that platform, you can build a platform. And that platform, can you continue to build those living stones? Continue to be stronger Christians. That's what I believe, and I'm convinced every parent here that are godly parents, that's their desire for their children. They want them to be stronger and more faithful even than they are. And they're making sacrifices for that. And they expect you to do the same thing for their children who are their grandchildren and so on and so on. Proverbs 13.